we've got Dan Dufour from The Good Agency, who specialises in the marketing of good causes. He's in the studio with us now. Hello, Dan.
Hi there.
We have Daniel Masliar, who's the head of PR at the disability charity Scope. He's on the line. Hello, Daniel.
Hi there.
And we have an old friend of the programme, Lawrence Clark, comedian, and I have to put this on the end, comedian with cerebral palsy. Hello, Lawrence.
Hi.
So I'm going to come to you first, considering I labelled you so succinctly there, Lawrence. When it comes to awareness raising, I mean, how good do you actually think disability charities are?
Well, I think I'd agree with your introduction, Rob, in that do we actually want awareness in the first place? It just sounds kind of meaningless and passive. For example, I've got awareness of the only way is Essex. Doesn't mean pay any bloody attention to it, but I've got awareness.
Daniel, what do you think about that? Because you're obviously your head of PR at Scope. Isn't awareness very important for you?
Awareness is very important for us. I think I totally agree with Lawrence. I think this shouldn't just be about awareness, though. Awareness is kind of a means to an end for a charity like Scope. And that end, like Lawrence says, is all about actually getting people to think differently about disability and think and act towards disabled people in a way that makes this world a better place for disabled people. So I think you need to move on from awareness possibly and actually talk about the public's attitudes towards disabled people. And I think there's a real need right now to have a broader debate about the way the public thinks about disability. You know, we had the Paralympics last year, Seb Coe saying that we'll never look at disability the same again. But the disabled people that we speak to at Scope really regularly are painting a slightly different picture 1 year on. Seems like attitudes are actually hardening. And I think we need to understand better, you know, why the public think about disability in the way they do, and then really think about how we can change that. So I think it's bigger than just awareness.
So I'm going to come to you now, Dan, with The Good Agency, who you work for. Now, I mean, is it a problem just with the lexicon here? I mean, the idea of saying awareness, I mean, I don't want to be facetious, but I am aware that I have a disability. I am aware that Kate and Damon and everyone else working on the show has a disability. Does this awareness actually lead us anywhere? It, as Lawrence was saying, I mean, is it? How do we make it more meaningful than that?
I think I agree with Daniel. You know, awareness is one factor, but it's what you do with that awareness. Mm. It's one thing for people to know about you, but will they engage with you? So
should we call it something else then? Awareness raising seems somewhat of a sort of cul-de-sac.
Well, I think for charity, awareness is important in the first instance, because if people don't know who you are, they're not likely to support you. Mm. I think it's then what you do with that support. I think you need to encourage people to the charity, one, to support you financially. Mm. If you can't get people to donate to you, you're not going to exist. And if you're not there, you can't achieve anything. But also, in terms of that awareness, it's what you do in terms of policy and campaigning. You can use that power, use that influence to change for better policies, change for better laws, to make life more accessible for people with disabilities. So awareness in its own right, on its own, isn't going to achieve very much at all. It's how you harness it and what you do with that, I think, that's more important.
And what do you think that charities should be doing more of, or indeed less of, to try and promote themselves?
Well, I think for disability charities in particular, it's very difficult. When you look at the sort of the league, the top 100 charities in this country, you've got to go quite a long way down before you get a disability charity. Unfortunately, there are other causes that have much more public awareness. So if you look at the top charities, you've got, you know, British Heart Foundation, Cancer Support, you've got children's charities, pet charities. It's a while before you get to a disability charity, which is a shame. I think part of the reason for that is there would be a disability charity for different types of disability.
Yeah.
So their market share then gets, you know, fragmented. Mm. But wouldn't it be great if they could collaborate more, come together more, to make a bigger impact, get more cut through?
Now, we talked about the Paralympics earlier on and Seb Coe, and he talks about this at length in his autobiography, which I had to read earlier this year for a newspaper. And I tell you, my kitchen table has never been less wobbly since I put it underneath it. But I do need to talk about whether we've sort of missed the boat here somewhat in terms of everything that was attempting to be achieved in the Paralympics, and a year down the line, is there a sense of anticlimax now?
I think the Paralympics was fantastic in helping to shift people's opinions. I think after that, there was a crest of a wave, and I really think that people were celebrating ability rather than disability, seeing what people could achieve, and I think that was a fantastic thing. And I really hope that after that, we may see disability charities come together and collaborate and mount some sort of campaign, joining forces to build on that. But I don't think that's really been the case, or I think they've sort of lost the zeitgeist, as it were.
Do they cancel each other out then, some of these disability charities who are trying to go for the same kind of audience?
I think in some parts of the sector, possibly.
Which parts in particular?
I have to be careful what I say here. I'm thinking of my client base. But you do get some disabilities where there are multiple charities. So blind and partially sighted charities, for example, you've got Guide Dogs, RNIB, Action for Blind People, National Blind Children's Society. There's a lot of charities working in the same space and doing, when you look at it, it's very similar things.
Well, Dan, what do you think? Sorry, Daniel, with your scope cap on, would you like to merge with more charities to become a super charity?
I don't think it's about merging, but I think the point that Dan made about collaborating is absolutely spot on. If you look what happened amongst mental health charities, they came together a little while ago to do Time to Change, which was all about exactly this point. It was about them coming together, developing a really good understanding of what the barriers are to making people understand mental illness better. And they put on a united front to try and address some of those things. And I think that approach, you know, charities coming together to really understand what is behind some of these bad attitudes and working together to try and change them is exactly the right thing to be doing.
Lawrence, were you trying to say something there?
Yeah, I was. First of all, canceling each other out. I think there's obvious examples there, like we have charities that campaign for inclusive education and then others that campaign for special schools. We have ones that campaign for independent living and then others run care homes. So it's not a consistent message. Also, though, I think in recent years, disability charities have had a bit of a quandary in that they can't portray themselves in the kind of tragic, pity me kind of way that they maybe did in the 70s and the 80s. But then there's a paradox, because if they portray us as having wonderful, fulfilled lives, then effectively they put themselves out of business, because why do you need to donate?
Yeah.
Well, let's revisit tragic and pity in a moment. But in the meantime, we mentioned this at the top of the show, and you may have thought I was just joking, but I'm holding it in my hand. I'm just going to tap it against the microphone so you know that it really does exist. And this is a half pint bottle of cerebral palsy beer. It's called CPA. Underneath it says CP for life. And it comes from Sweden. I want to try and describe, if I can, to you the on the label. There's a person in a wheelchair on the front who I suppose has a cerebral palsy. It's not a photo, it's a rather crude black and white line drawing. And Kate seemed to think that it looked a bit like Lawrence Clark.
I think that's a compliment.
I actually think it's a woman, first of all.
Okay, I said a female version.
She looks a little bit like Betty Boop, I think, actually. A very luxuriant mane of black hair, very skinny legs, arms kind of bendy in the CP
come
way.
Come on, open it.
And it's, I think,
come
shall we just
on,
open
we
it? Let's break
it.
A few BBC health and safety laws. And I'm going to do it away from the microphone.
Can I just say?
Oh, yes. Please do.
I've got water. You've got, how come?
Lawrence is
at
BBC Radio Merseyside rather than here with us, so I'm afraid he doesn't get to join in. But the bottle's open, so I'm just going to pour a little slug for Dan over there. You want to take
Thank
that from
much.
Me, Dan?
It's very dark.
And Miss Monaghan, would you like
can you pass
a glass
me,
as well?
Your empty one.
Do we have another glass?
I'd like to try.
Okay, right.
Despite not liking ale,
That is a bit of a disability in itself if you're going to try. And look, it's so frothy.
You really do have to have a look at this.
I'm pouring it terribly. I do apologise.
We will have a picture up of somewhere.
Now, before we actually toast, let me just tell you a little bit more about it. It's we wanted to get one of the representatives from this charity, which is called GIL, by the way. It's an independent living charity in Gothenburg in Sweden. We wanted to get somebody on the phone, but they weren't free, presumably because they're in some sort of alcoholic stupor. But the beer's interesting because they give it out to bars and restaurants who are accessible. So instead of getting a boring certificate you put on your wall, they actually give you a load of cerebral palsy beer instead, and it's kind of got a lot of people talking. They've got all kinds of campaigns going on, but obviously this is by far our favourites.
Yeah.
So without any further ado, shall we raise a quick glass?
Yeah.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cerebral
Cheers.
Palsy beer. How does it go down? Wait.
Oh.
Hey, that's pretty good. I think that's all right. What do you think, Dan? It's a bit warm.
It's quite strong.
It's very strong.
It's 5.8%.
Oh, my word.
It's pretty flat.
That's that's not going to turn me onto ale. But Lawrence, Daniel,
hang on a minute, Lawrence.
Hold on, Lawrence.
Apparently it's horrible, so you haven't missed
missed out. I mean, what do you think about these kinds of marketing campaigns? Is this the kind of thing that disability organisations in the UK should be doing?
Yeah, I think it's great, actually. It's a nice segue on from the point you were making before about what charities could be doing. Because I think there is a real need for charities, and it's not just disability charities, all charities, I think, to be slightly braver. If you're conscious that the public isn't coming to your particular issues, isn't that aware of what you're saying, you need to go to the public. You need to go to where the public are and what they're talking about. And I think developing a beer and putting it in bars that are accessible is exactly the right way to be doing that. So I think maybe producing beers isn't something that we can do, but I think the principle behind it is something that we can learn from.
Lawrence, what do you think? What do you think we should be doing in terms of campaigning?
First of all, it's the idea that if you drink enough of it, you sound like me.
I only need another swig and I'm there.
One and she's anyone's, two and she's everyone's.
I was thinking then, because you're right, because typically whenever I see disability charities in the UK, it's normally on a bag that gets shoved through my letterbox asking for old clothes, which isn't quite the image that you kind of want to portray. I think they do need to up their game a bit.
It's not sexy, is it?
I like the idea of a beer because it's something that we all relate to and lots of us desire. So maybe we could have cerebral palsy straws with the slogan, "We suck, our lives don't."
What do you think?
Just we suck.
Dan, do you think that could work?
I'm not sure about the slogan as a former brand manager, but I think both Lawrence and Daniel make great points. I think charities need to treat their supporters more like consumers.
Mm.
I mean, Lawrence was talking about some old-fashioned channels there, you know, people sending direct mail through the door or bags to be collected, you know, for charity shops. I think the more charities can innovate and treat their donors like consumers, the better.
But you say you're not sure about that slogan. Aren't we being too conservative?
Because that slogan is very funny.
It's very funny. It's come from Lawrence.
That's part of the point. I think it's great that it's come from Lawrence and we can laugh at it. I think it may have been different if I maybe had said it. Somebody that doesn't have cerebral palsy,
yeah.
I may have ended up with a slap around the face. So I think it's where it's coming from, where the message is authentic.
This is one of the whole debates that has been going on ever since Ouch started. I mean, I love the fact that we can use this show to use terminology because it's sort of part of a club, because we're disabled. But should that mean that non-disabled people can't make those jokes too? I mean, there seems to be this general rule that they can't, but I'd rather prefer it if they did, to be honest.
Can I cut in there? I think one of the things that was great about the Paralympics was that it did create an atmosphere where increasingly people were able to be slightly more open about disability. And, you know, take Channel 4 and shows like The Last Leg. They absolutely did try and, you know, sweep away some of the political correctness, I think, that maybe gets in the way when it comes to discussing disability. I think And touching on what someone said earlier, I think it was moments like that that made the Paralympics such a breakthrough moment. And I think the trick now is to find ways. You won't get the Paralympics again. That was a one-off. But are there other ways, other spaces we can create where we can have a bit more of an open discussion about disability, where we're a bit less worried about tripping over political correctness? Because I think that is the start of changing the way people think.